Hey there, Sarah here. Do you love Learn to Podcast because it's produced by yours truly and your girl, Lorinda Graffenwright? Then you might be interested in a new web series that I produced, wrote, and star in alongside my friend Dana Bell. The web series is called House Meeting, and it's about two roommates sorting out apartment-related issues through the time-honored ritual of the house meeting. You can check it out. It's all six episodes. Altogether, it's like 25 minutes or under. It's less than a full 30-minute pilot. You can check them out at vimeo.com/housemeeting or housemeeting.tumblr.com. But check out the Vimeo one because it's more profesh looking. That's House Meeting. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
I'm Lorraine and I'm black.
I'm Sarah and I'm Jewish as fuck. This is What's Up Podcast, where we talk about basic black and Jewish stuff we should already know.
But we don't. And like today, we're talking about Drake and we're talking about Cardi B.
Yeah. And we're talking about beef. So get ready for a contentious, tension-filled episode.
Let's get learned up!
Yo, what's up?
You trying to talk to me? You're trying to step to me?
Yeah, I'm stepping.
What? You don't think that someone like me won't come for you, Sarah? What if I step first?
Well, you made it pretty clear that you wanted me to step first. So that says a lot about your preparedness as a host in general.
What are we even doing? Why are we dancing around this issue? There's clearly a lot of tension between us.
Okay, here's what's going to happen, everyone listening right now. Lorraine and I have been beefing. And as we all know, the only way that two fucking genius artists can settle their differences and their beef is by trading some bars. We're talking diss tracks. So everyone get ready because I'm about to spit some fucking fire at Lorraine and it's gonna be messy, it's gonna be painful, but it's gotta be like that.
Okay, okay, okay. Hey audience, what up zeitgeist? Get your side eye ready because Sarah thinks that she's gonna serve me.
You're gonna get served like that movie You Got Served that I think was about dancing and not about divorce papers.
Before you even go, I just want you to know, Sarah, that I am gonna take this audio and I'm gonna save it and keep it really close to me and then I'm gonna play it for our children.
Oh, our children that we have together?
Yeah, our children, my children. I'm gonna have 100% custody and they're gonna make fun of us for sounding like dorks.
Well, our children are not gonna listen to any audio because I'm gonna raise them in a white void, devoid of all media, because I'm going to raise them like Will Smith's kids, where the only art they consume is the ones that they produce.
You know what? We can at least see eye to eye on that. I was going to say the same thing.
Thank you. Thank God. All right. But no. Enough of this sort of amicability. We're about to get real here. Here we go. All right. Turn me up. Yo, my name's Lorraine. Look how I'm playing the game. Cool as fuck and nice to everybody. Yeah, I'm staying the same while everybody's changing around me in pursuit of the fame. I've worked with legends in the comedy space, but I'm not dropping names. Classy. Wow. Let me be honest about your promise as a partner. Yeah, I'm calling you bad. Bad like MJ meant it, not like old milk or a passing fad. I'm sick of your stories about your boring, glorious mom and dad. JK, James, and Michelle, you're like the godparents I never had. Because Jews don't do that. Last thing I gotta mention, your hair deserves all its attention. And just generally, your energy is flowing in the right direction. If imperfection is the infection, then you're the prevention. Deal with that, yeah, take a moment to soak in my best intention. You're burnt.
Damn, Sarah.
Yeah, that kind of got a little off course.
You just hit me in the face with a whole bunch of compliments. Damn. I don't know how I'm going to come back from this. Color me embarrassed.
Well, mission success.
I feel bashful. I feel like that emoji with the wide eyes and the rosy cheeks. Oh, shit.
Oh, is he embarrassed? I thought he was about to throw up.
Oh, That's how I feel right now. I feel nauseous from warm fuzzies. Okay.
You better bring it.
This is all written on a piece of receipt paper.
That's fucking gangster.
Okay. Talk about Sarah. Where should I start? Sarah Isaacson is very smart. An English major from Vassar College. That girl's head is full of knowledge. What a nerd. And I mean that in every sense of the word. Are you ready? Here comes a true fact. Sarah Isaacson knows how to act. She's very good. Convincing. If she plays a murderer, you'll be wincing. Hurt her feelings? I wouldn't dare. Say mean things about Sarah? That wouldn't be fair. Boom.
Oh, shit. I feel higher than I've ever felt. I feel like I just looked in the mirror and my reflection said back to me, I love you.
Oh,
you are beautiful.
No. Sarah, we should never be rappers.
We don't understand how to do diss tracks.
We don't understand how diss tracks work.
We just said nice things about each other.
That's all we're wired to do.
How did we mess up so badly?
Because the nature of being amicable podcast hosts is just coursing through our veins, and that's all we have.
I love you so much.
I love you, Sarah.
Let's never fight again.
Let's just sip champagne and drink Bacardi and Diet Shasta, because that's what I just bought from the Smart and Final down the street.
And let's eat some Haribo like true fucking rappers.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
Love you, bitch.
We are superstars. Hi, everyone. Lot of people loved our Drake Part 1 episode.
That's right. And some didn't. You know, some said, hey, why didn't you talk more about Drake's Jewishness? That those people were my brother.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we can't do everything. We just can't.
Also, diehard fan Mark Stefanos, you know, mentioned to me that we focused a lot on his earlier work earlier like piece of his narrative. And you know what? That's great for a part one. Appropriate for a part one. And now I think we're going to kind of talk about more current Drake, current goings on.
100%. And this is this record could not have come at a better time, because a couple super current Drake shit is going on right now. One being that he and Pusha T have been having a pretty legendary beef and exchanging of diss tracks, which are you here for that? Like, are you tuned in at all?
So, okay, learned up listeners, you are like hearing reactions live because like I know more about the conversation around the beef than the beef itself. And meaning, like, I kind of know the content of these diss tracks, but haven't heard any of them. I have not listened to a single one. Is that good for this podcast? Is that bad? I don't know. Only time will tell.
It will make for a one-sided conversation.
But no.
Here we go. Yep.
But like I said, like, I know the content of the diss tracks.
Yeah.
It's just that, like, sonically, are they good?
Yes.
Are they fun?
Yes. They're all
okay.
So good and so fun. I'm riveted. I was listening on the plane. I went to Denver for the weekend and I just got back. And on the plane, I did pay $8.99 for internet. Thank you so much. Because it was pretty much the only time when I could do this learned up homework.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is one of those things. If you back me into a corner and you say, look, Wi-Fi or no Wi-Fi, $8.99. Yeah, I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. And it was really stupid because it was a very short flight and I made that decision like an hour into it.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. So I bought an hour and probably only used like 40 minutes.
This is amazing. Sarah did not have real Wi-Fi, paid for it to do this homework. That's how dedicated she is to this project.
That's right.
I had Wi-Fi. at my disposal, and I still have not heard this audio. Shame on me, shame.
Well, this stuff all came out really recently. I guess when this episode releases, it'll be a few weeks or a couple weeks maybe, but this was like last several days.
For sure.
As we record now. So the order of it kind of went, I believe, Pusha T released a track called Infrared. And then as a response, and like in Infrared, I forget, now I'm mixing it with his response to Drake's response. Okay, we'll like just, I'll list the tracks first and then we can get into like the content and stuff.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Important.
So Pusha T, I don't know like what motivated this, but he released Infrared. And by the way, the turnaround time on these tracks is like really amazing. Like it's like all same day, I'm pretty sure. Like these all three tracks came out the same day.
What?
And then Drake released in response to Infrared this track called Duppy Freestyle,
which I've heard is so good.
I love it. It is so good. And I want to come back to why I think it's so good and why I think Drake needs to be. Okay, hold on. Pause. Bookmark. Okay. After Duppy Freestyle was released, Pusha T responds with a track called The Story of Adidon, which is a sort of like a I don't know what this word is called, but it's like a conflation of Adidas, because Drake is like, I guess, doing some collab with Adidas. He's like doing this line of shoes.
Okay.
I guess like Rihanna to Puma kind of. And apparently he Pusha T is calling him out for having fathered a son named Adonis. So this is sort of like Adidon. Like this
got
is
it,
like those two
it,
things
got
combined.
Got
Adidas
it.
Adonis.
Wow.
And so Adonis is the supposedly the love child of Drake and this porn star Sophie Brisseau.
Right. And I wanna say when he was dating her, I was so confused as to why it wasn't like bigger news.
I didn't hear about it. I'm hearing about it for the first time now.
Because I might be getting this wrong, but wasn't this like 2 Februaries ago? It was like not last year, but the year before. In that crossover section of the Venn diagram of Learned Up fans and Drake fans, please forgive me. But I have this thought that it was like right around the time that Drake and Rihanna were no longer. And I mean, we could talk.
You mean
about,
always?
Yeah, but like,
sorry, Drake.
I was gonna say, it was like, I'm still not convinced that they ever actually dated. But
same.
But whatever. In the public eye, they were very much together, and then they split, and then almost immediately, Drake was dating this porn star, and I was like, this is a real story. Why aren't people tweeting about this constantly?
Yeah. Well, I don't know when they were dating, but it's alleged that the kid was born like last fall, I think, like 2017.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
I was gonna bring this up like later when we, I don't know, just talk. I said that like we had a plan. I was like, later when we get to that section where this would be more appropriate. I have no idea what's happening,
Lorraine,
in this episode.
It's God's plan.
It's God's plan. God's plan. I was gonna say it's perfectly normal for an international superstar rapper to have illegitimate children.
Oh, yeah.
All over the goddamn
place. It'd be weird
place.
If Drake didn't have a kid by now.
I agree. And which is why I'm such an empath, Sarah, that when this
is your cross to bear.
This is my cross to bear.
Heavy is the heart that wears the emotions on its sleeve. I don't know.
Yeah, heavy is the heart of the woman who never hears the diss track but has so many feelings about it. When I was seeing all the memes and stuff and people making fun of Drake for having this secret baby, I was like, what's the hook, though? Like,
yeah.
What of it?
Why, though?
Like, did he also, like, take the baby and, like, punt it like a soccer ball? Like, is that what this is about?
Did he split it in half like King Solomon?
Yeah. Like, what is it? Did he, like, wrap it up in swaddling like Moses and, like, throw it down the river? Like, is it that? It sounds like a really normal case of he's a rapper. There is an illegitimate child that he does not claim. And this is tale as old as time.
I'll tell you why it's relevant.
Okay, talk to me.
If you're ready to be told.
I'm ready.
So Pusha T's whole like theory or whatever he's like sort of pushing is that Drake named his Adidas line Adonis. And so it's like supposedly like a nod to his like his like illegitimate child. And Pusha T is like, yo, you're like not like you have like 86 him from your life. Like, this is the best you can do as a, like, he's accusing Drake of being a deadbeat dad, of like,
I see,
not being there for his kid, but basically just naming a shoe after him because that's like,
and 0% of the money goes to this child and
right.
everything. Wow.
Right.
Ooh, that is meaty. That
yeah.
is juicy.
There's
and
a lot
I love
to,
it.
Yep. Lot to
and,
think about.
And it is not lost on me that Drake is a pretty, he's set on criticizing his own father for walking away.
That's right.
Yeah?
And Pusha T
That's
is
a big
bringing
part
that
of the
up
narrative.
A lot. Yeah.
Which, okay. Tell me what you think about this take.
Yeah.
What if this whole beef is, you know, scripted, or at least on the part of Drake is like, I'm cool with it, I'm fine with it, because Drake has been such a winner. He's been so on top, so on top, so on top. It's beginning to be a bit samey
yeah.
in his like celebrity persona path. The hero needs to fall. He needed a little fall from grace. And the more people play up this beef, the better. The more write-ups, the more anticipation
totally.
Of what's next from Drake, the better. And he's dropping an album, I believe, at the end of this month. And so it's kind of like, if he's not addressing it on that album, fine. At some point, he's maybe playing the long game. At some point, he wants to like come back and be like, I've been shown the error of my ways. And you guys know me. I've got a soft, tender heart and I'm a good guy. And I've really reflected. And here's a whole album devoted to what a great dad I am now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, that would be interesting. Pusha T is definitely calling Drake out on his hypocrisy of like talking and being so angry toward his own deadbeat dad,
mm-hmm.
Who apparently Drake has like patched things up with, and now they're friends. And mm-hmm. his dad like posts regularly on Instagram.
That supports my theory even more, because it's like that tension is now gone.
Yeah,
is like there isn't that anymore. So like, what next?
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, let's have the cycle repeat itself. This
yeah.
is season two,
right.
of Drake and dad issues.
Well, definitely beef between two artists benefits both of them like enormously.
Absolutely. It's basically just a YouTube collab.
Yeah, I mean, Drake,
everybody gains.
Totally. Drake says that toward the end of Duppy Freestyle, he's like, I forget the exact wording, but he's basically like, tell Kanye, I'm about to send an invoice to you guys for like helping boost your like sales.
That is so funny.
It's very funny.
Yeah, because that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually true. Like
yeah.
I was talking with someone at work today because she brought it up. I don't know why, but I was like, oh, good. You know about this. Sum it up. Like, what is the Pusha T Drake beef? Go. And she was kind of like, well, how about this? I know who Drake is and I know his music. And Pusha T, sorry, I don't know your music. I like can't cite a lyric.
Yeah.
Pusha
T is really good.
Is there a beef?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely less famous than Drake.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of wants it that way. Like, I think he views Drake's success as like mainstreamness
yeah.
and commercialism,
like cheesy, disingenuous,
so cheesy,
not legit,
right? Because Pusha T is like, you know, his whole thing is that he's like from the streets and he like sold coke like and crack and is like a hard kind of thug,
mm-hmm.
and he is like very good at rapping. The first time I think I ever heard a Pusha T song was that song he did with Tyler the Creator and Earl Sweatshirt, Trouble on My Mind.
Oh.
Do you know that song?
Cool.
Let's play a little bit of it.
Let's
right
play
now.
It right now.
Creator hit the jackpot, whole nother level. Then you add fame, that's a whole nother devil. Legit drug dealer, that's a whole nother bezel. The carbon auto mall, that's a whole nother metal. But still keep it ghetto. Behind the scenes, pull strings like your pedal. The gun blow steam, whistle like a tea kettle. Running like the Rebels, you an LV sports shoe on a pedal. I let you niggas settle. Yeah. Trouble on my mind. I got trouble on my mind. Trouble on my mind. So much trouble.
Oh, damn.
Boy. Is it weird that I, as like a white lady, like work out on the elliptical to that song? Maybe. But that's the America I'm living in right now.
I literally never think about that. But if I look around my life, anyone who's got earbuds in or ear pods, if you're
from the future, if any of you future people are listening,
There are so many white people around me that might be having that internal monologue of like, oh, this music is not actually designed for me. Yeah. Is it okay that I'm enjoying this? The answer is, yeah, you're a white person. You own the world.
Yeah.
Enjoy it all.
Enjoy it all.
Have a good time.
It's basically just brunch 24/7. I was going to say, this is where I bookmarked. We were talking about the Drake Pusha T beef and like the quality of Duppy Freestyle and how good it is. When Drake has a specific target or thing to respond to, he thrives. He needs something like specific to rap about. That's when he's best. And I think this like beef really brought that out in him. I think that like a lot of his latest music, and I will exempt More Life from this because I truly think that's a great album and there's a lot of awesome tracks on it. And it's very fun and it's very like intentional. It feels like Drake actually thought about like a direction for his album and was like, oh, we'll do like a fun island album that is like what the people want to hear these days. But with that aside, like I think Views and like a lot of just like mixtapes and things he's been releasing, like random tracks, Scary Hours, fuck Scary Hours, fuck God's Plan, fuck Diplomatic Immunity. You're rapping about nothing. You're literally rapping about nothing. So I think that Drake needs, like, the reason Take Care was such a great album and like is because it was so specific, I think. Mm-hmm. And tracks like Marvin's Room, where he's talking about, you know, drunk dialing his ex and like how emotional and embarrassed he feels. Like, this is a very specific, relatable circumstance, and he really like he can write to that. So when he's just rapping about fucking just G's and like hot tubs and like hoes in Canada, it's like not great.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of hardcore rap fans would say like that's a part of what's so bad about Drake as an artist and as for his image. It's like,
yeah,
so you consider yourself a performer, a writer, a rapper. You consider yourself an artist and you're okay with rapping about nothing? Why?
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 I know.
You have a mic in your hand. Will you say something, please? And so I think sometimes, like, you know, if the king on top is that guy, you're like, I am sorry. I have to come for this N-word. I'm showing up and I'm rapping at you and now you have to respond. And worst case scenario, you do great at dissing me in return, but I gained. So like that gave myself the boost that I needed, and you produced better music.
I think Drake has been an easy target for other rappers for a long time. But when he comes back with a track that's really good, it's like all those disses are still legitimate because like all the critiques of him being sort of soft and like, you know, like mm-hmm. Pusha T is talking about your like dissing Drake sort of like biracial identity, which is kind of fucked up, but like, you know, and I think Drake has like lost some points for being Jewish and Canadian, all these sort of like uncool rapperly mm-hmm. things, not very rapperly things. Like all that doesn't matter because he can produce really good fun like not just fun but like smart music.
Which is kind of scary if you're like, let's say you're like hardcore, you are like a rapper.
Okay, hold on.
Like,
let me. Okay.
Sarah, go there.
Let me do a visualization.
Make yourself Pusha T in your mind. Okay. You, like you said, he's hard. He's drawn the street. He sold drugs. Mm-hmm. And he really, really concerns himself with the artistry of making good rap music. And you see that motherfucker on top, sitting on a throne? Really? If that soft, adorable, like memeable Canadian former child actor,
sweatsuit wearing,
sweatsuit,
fucking eyebrow shaving, fucking soft
mama's
crooner
boy
motherfucker.
If that guy is on the top, what does that say about you?
Right.
What is that? Who the fuck are you? If that guy is the genius that mm-hmm. everybody's writing about and talking about, and like God's Plan was at the top of that like special Spotify playlist called Rap Caviar or whatever. I'm talking about that like I know what it is. My Drake source, Mark Stefanos, told me about it. It was like at the top of that list for like 80 weeks or something. If that's the king, then what does that make you? So you got to light a fire under your own butt and come for that guy because no way, no how. He needs to prove himself. And then guess what? He does.
Yeah.
He does. And you're like, okay.
Okay,
great.
Yeah.
Good. Which, by the way, so today, as we record this, like hours before we recorded this, something came out from Jay Prince about, did you see this?
Uh-uh.
About how Drake supposedly had a response to Pusha T's diss track.
Which one? Added on the latest one?
Yes. He like has one like ready to go.
Yeah, because I'm ready for it.
And Prince was like, no, like I'm warning you, Drake, like don't release it. Don't put this out. It could be bad. Just like let it go. Let the beef go. And supposedly Jay Prince was there way back when, and he warned Biggie after Tupac came for him. And he was like, Biggie, I'm warning you, like don't say anything. Don't respond. Biggie did respond. And a week later, he was not alive.
Whoa.
So that's news that came out today. And just like sort of on a superficial level, we all at this point have seen Kanye's tweet that was like, hold on, I'm gonna pull up the exact tweet.
Yeah, but where he's playing like fucking Bill Clinton at Camp David.
I was honestly floored by Kanye West weighing in on this, because I didn't have the inside info. I didn't understand the professional connection between Kanye West and Pusha T. I didn't understand that. Mm-hmm. Also with Drake, because Kanye's worked with both of them on things.
I know.
Like, so it's complicated. But Kanye says, I've never been about beef. I'm about love. Lines were crossed and it's not good for anyone. So this is dead now. So listeners, Kanye West, the man who tweets polarizing things at his fans that are decidedly not with Donald Trump. He tweets things like, I love Donald Trump. Donald Trump is my brother. This is the same guy who also has tweeted things suggesting that slavery is a choice. This is the guy who said, Bill Cosby, innocent. This guy is deciding that there are certain topics now that we don't talk about on Twitter. There's now a boundary up, like he's now censoring himself. Like, okay.
Yeah, sure. Cool. Thanks for your thoughts.
Sure. I'm sure that this is not motivated by revenue, like an exact dollar amount that you know you would lose if Drake came back at Pusha T this week.
That
sure.
Tweet is as welcome as if my mom tweeted that. It's like... Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Sit down. Yeah, I'm curious about Drake and Kanye's relationship these days. It seems kind of non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe that Drake, and I also think Pusha T, because I watched a little bit of this Pusha T interview with Charlemagne the God on Power 106.
Mm-hmm.
At Lorraine's favorite radio station.
Not
which is 100% the same as Hot 97.
No. I would not say that.
New York and LA are the same city.
The year
is 3164. New York and LA are the same city.
That snafu is going to get me killed. I will die in a crossfire. Guys, okay. Just go, everybody, go back in your Apple Podcasts app and just scroll to find Hot 97 and then don't click on it.
Yeah, I think you should click on it because, I think we sort of tease this episode in a way. We sort of foreshadow it by talking about how you would be a really bad rapper because you would just be really nice to everybody.
Oh my God, that's so true. And we have followed that up with more of the same.
Yeah, that was a fucking prophecy.
Yeah.
But just really briefly on the beef, just closing out the beef thing, I think that Pusha T and Drake are both kind of just loving this and not out for blood and both enjoying how silly it is.
Yeah.
I believe so. It seemed like from the Pusha T interview that I watched, I just saw a little bit. Again, guys, my Wi-Fi did run out because the plan was landing. But it did seem like Pusha T is not, he's not gonna, I don't want to say this on this podcast and then jinx it. And I'm being very serious because I don't want to see anybody killed over this, but it doesn't seem like he's out for blood.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so at all. Although I can't imagine what those meetings are like where they do negotiate the terms of the beef. Because if this is planned and this is all above board and nobody's feelings are actually getting hurt.
You think there's meetings?
I don't know. It's how do you coordinate something like this?
At least.
Because look, it's kind of a big deal to be calling somebody out for an illegitimate child. It's did.
It's rude. First of all, if not planned, it's rude.
Yeah, first of all, that's so rude. And it's so rude. And like, he's hitting Drake, like, really where it hurts. Doesn't he, like, come after more than just Drake? He, like, goes after, like, his family.
He, like, mentions, he, like... He goes after his mom.
Yeah, like, wow.
It's kind of whack.
So, at some point, like, you... I wouldn't do that to you without a conversation. No. I wouldn't just assume that Sarah's sense of humor is such that she would understand that I was... This was a joke beef. I would have to, like... text her, hey, like, when is good? When can we chat about the beef? We would sit down.
Then we would CC Ryan on that email.
Yeah, we would. And then we would loop him out if it got too, like, sure. detail-y. Yeah. We're like, we're going to come back to you for big picture stuff.
Yeah, we'll email you next week with a decision on this.
Exactly. And so then you could say, hey, Lorraine, like, I'm totally cool with you joking about my mom. I'm totally cool with you joking about Adam. I'm totally cool with you joking about my dad. But, like, please, oh, please do not bring up my childhood pet, Fluffy. Like, that is something that it's not something off any limits. Of us bring up. We don't talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And then I would respect that. And I'd be like, oh, good. I'm glad you told me. Because I, like, had 6 bars, like, prepared. Yeah. Is that how you quantify bars?
6 bars.
I had six bars, please. Approximately 6 bars prepared for Fluffy. And so I imagine that, like, Pusha T and Drake, not them, but, like, their reps come together and draft up contracts.
Yeah.
That would be really funny if, like, some up-and-coming rapper found all that paperwork and leaked it.
Yeah, I would love to see the transcripts.
Look at these marshmallows. They're so fucking soft. They're litigious.
Yeah. Their assistants hate each other. Okay, really briefly, just touching on, like, Drake and his Judaism. This is now going to be, like, about a month or two old, but he... did you hear about this Instagram thing where he captioned this very artistic, like, well-composed picture on Instagram? The caption was something like, this girl asked me, what's it like to be a Jewish rapper? And I said, the struggle is real.
No.
And it got, you know, a bunch of fucking likes.
I'm furious.
Are you? I think it's great and / don't care about it at all. And people went nuts.
Wait, in a positive way?
No.
Or in an-
like anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian people. No shade.
No.
We're like, yo, it's really fucked up for Drake to come out on Israel's side. And it's like,
oh, that's
Drake
not,
was making a pun.
It was a pun.
It was just a pun, sweetie. It was just a play on words.
That was just a pun.
It was just a pun about how Israel is a Jewish place.
You know what I first thought of when you said that, when you told me that? Raphael Bob Waxberg, longtime friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
Way back to our first ever live show.
He really, yeah, he's our day one homie.
Yeah, he is our day one homie. He would love that little Drake joke. He loves puns. He's always the guy with the puns.
I love a pun. I love people who are just like pun machines, like Megan Amram.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the way, shout out to Megan Amram.
Shout out to Megan Amram.
I like that accent.
Shout out to Raphael Bob Waxberg. All the pun machines, like, you infuriate us, but we can't do it without you. Thank you so much.
For real. So anyway, I don't know. Drake was just like, I don't even know if he responded to all this, like, stupid ass uppity stuff. But he doesn't have to.
Nope.
I'm letting him off the hook if he's debating.
I don't want to see Drake give me his, like, two-state proposal. Yeah. I don't want to know it. Like, just stay in Canada.
I don't know. I guess I sort of do want to hear that because I think a legitimate criticism of Drake is that he, unlike a lot of black artists now, like, isn't really talking about, like, serious black issues. Like, where is Drake's Black Lives Matter track? You won't find it.
Hey, that's true, man.
Where is Drake's stance on police brutality?
Uh-oh. Shots fired. Sarah is coming for Drake.
I am inviting Drake, if he hasn't been extended an invitation before, to comment on any of the political climate for the last few years.
Holy shit. No, this is real life, guys. Sarah Isaacson is fuming angry. She is mad. She wants to see cool pun, Drake. Where are your puns for your Black Lives Matter protest signs?
Cool hotel party, Drake.
Cool. Although, did you see, do you watch Atlanta?
I do, but I'm really behind the season.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is sort of like... How do I bring this up without ruining anything? There's just an episode that kind of plays around with like Drake. Real, not real, you know, like, mm-hmm. is he an illusion? Is he a simulation? Like, what is Drake?
These are the questions
that kind of is it's not explicit, but they kind of like nod at this conversation. And maybe we should do a group viewing. I don't know.
I think we should. Last thing I want to say about Drake and Judaism is that All Too Late, I watched, again, with my airlines Wi-Fi, thank you so much, I watched the music video for Hell Yeah Fucking Right from 2011, where he gets re-bar mitzvahed. It's like his adult bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen GIFs from this.
It's a lovely music video.
Cool.
It's one of the greatest.
Wow.
I really, really like it. I really recommend if anyone hasn't watched it. It's so good, and it was just nice to be reminded that Drake had another bar mitzvah, because he was really like, he wanted to recommit to the Jewish faith, and that's so cool.
That is really cool.
You know, he's not just sort of like acknowledging Judaism sort of in like, you know, lines about his, you know, like bar mitzvah money, like my last name Mordecai.
He's
like,
committed. He's doing to the faith,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he like identifies fully as Jewish and as like a Jewish Canadian rapper. And I think that is neat. Yeah. And yeah, I tried to find more about sort of like recent interviews that he's given, talking about like, you know, Judaism and Jewishness, and I couldn't find any. And, you know, I don't know how much of I don't know, like, what specifically about Judaism, like, he really identifies with, or if he thinks that much about, like, what it means to be Jewish.
Kosher food laws.
Yeah, what if... Fuck, if I could have only called Drake during those ample opportunities.
Yeah, he's got an aversion to the sturgeon, if you know what I'm saying.
Real. He doesn't eat puss. I'm sorry, Mom. All right, that can be the end of that.
Okay, Black Boo and Jubu. Black Boo, Cardi B. Oh, actually, Afro-Latina Boo, Cardi B, Jubu, Drake.
Sure. Honorary Jubu, Cardi B. last time we did an episode on Drake and Cardi B, all of the Cardi B material was from Lorraine, because I literally was like, who? Like, did not know. And
but then flash forward just a couple months,
I could not be more learnt up on Cardi B.
She's so learnt up on Cardi B. I haven't even listened to the album.
You haven't?
No, I was supposed to. But like last weekend, or I think it was last weekend, like not yesterday, but like the weekend before, Sarah played Be Careful for me. I agree with you, Sarah.
Ooh.
Song of the summer.
Song of the summer.
Song of the summer.
It is so good. The whole album is so good. Everyone listen to Invasion of Privacy. Out now, wherever music is sold.
Sam Goody.
Yeah.
Barnes and Noble. Barnes at Noble, the Americana.
Walton Books. Yeah. Books a Million. Other places that are out of print.
That
out
place of, out in Pasadena. Romans.
Oh, sure.
They sell books, but maybe they have Cardi B's album too.
Mm-hmm. Guys, Cardi B is so good. She, and also, I just heard her speak for the first time, because I hadn't watched any interviews with her.
You like watched a lecture. I was like, did she do a commencement speech?
Oh my gosh, she's going to though.
Yeah.
Her knowledge of presidential history is encyclopedic.
Yeah. Also around tax season, did you see
her rant about taxes? God.
It was so good.
I agree with her.
I totally agree with her. She wants to know what Uncle Sam is doing with her fucking money.
Yeah. And I think that's a legit question.
Okay, so what else were you going to say?
I was just going to say that I heard her speak for the first time. I was watching a couple interviews with her, and I thought she was either doing a bit or, like, I was deaf.
Her voice slash accent is very funny.
It's unbelievable.
It's so funny.
I almost don't believe it. Like, she sounds, and this is no shade to Cardi B, but, like, she truly sounds like a Muppet trying to impersonate the nanny. You know, it's just, like, so caricature.
But it's, like, it's so accurate.
It's
like,
wonderful.
I love it so much, because it makes me homesick for New York. And heads up, I only lived there for 2 years. And guess where I didn't live? The Bronx. So it's like, why do I hear her voice and feel like warm inside?
Like you're home.
Yeah. Do you like, know that? She's yeah. so, I love her. She's
I love
so
her
cool.
so much. I did a play in the Bronx. It was like the first play that I was in out of college when I lived in New York. I got into this random play at this Bronx theater, and I took the 6 train all the way up from the Lower East Side to the Bronx.
Wow.
Every day.
Wow.
On the 6, just like wow. J-Lo.
When? Like what time of day?
Often at night for like evening rehearsals.
I mean, yeah. That's like.
It was a long train ride. You
that's
know?
Long.
That I think is it was long. Castle Avenue, represent.
And that's yeah. hard in the off-peak hours because I always got the impression that that green line, like, what was it, 456? It's like very like businessy. It's very like 9 to 5. Like that's when it goes very quickly. Uh-huh. And then like outside of those hours, it's like slowing down.
Scary hours. Am I right?
Yeah, man.
Flashback. Hashtag callback. Drake. Anyway, Cardi B, you are... You're amazing. You're so great. And I just love that she has such a, I don't know, she seems to have such a sense of humor and such mm-hmm. a joie de vivre.
Yes.
And I love like how, I don't know, I just love how public she's been about her pregnancy. Yes. And like, I just wish her all the best.
On this topic, can I just say,
please.
This weekend on social media, she shared that she is done with mixing high fashion and pregnancy. She's done. She doesn't want to. She's like, I don't want to wear a wig anymore. I don't want to wear a bra anymore. I don't want to wear closed-toed shoes. I don't want to talk about nothing unless it's food and what I'm craving. So that's where I'm at right now. Pregnancy is hard. Goodbye. And I love her for that. Because you know those people who are like, I don't know, like Gwyneth Paltrow, who are like, yes, I love pregnancy. I bathe myself in rose oil and everything is a dream. Yes. And Cardi B is like, hi, I'm a real person in a human body that happens to be made of carbon. I experience pain and discomfort.
Yep.
Please stop making me sweat through Prada. I just want to wear like, I don't know, like a jersey. A soft fabric. Ooh, yes. of like a maxi dress, but for pregnant
sure,
ladies
sure.
and flip flops.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah. Relatable.
Yeah. Relatable.
So relatable.
She's real. I love her.
Well, another great one in the can. Thanks, guys, for listening. This was a fun one.
Yeah, this was fun. And I'm really glad that we got through it. But like, as is always the case on Learned Up, I have lots more homework to go. I got to go home and listen to music because I clearly haven't been doing that lately.
You have a long. Yeah, you have some some playlists to get through.
Yes.
You need to listen to I guess you need to listen to all the Drake, Pusha T.
All of it.
Barbs.
Got to listen to all of it. I got to listen to Cardi B's whole album.
Yep.
And whenever it drops, I'm ready for Drake's new album.
Yeah, I think, I don't know when it's coming. Scorpion is the name. I'm glad to know that he has more material coming out because I literally thought Scary Hours was going to be his contribution to 2018. And to that say, no.
No. That's kind of like Rich and I are going through the whole catalog of Harry Potter right now. Don't ask why. It's too long of a story to explain.
Sounds
and
really interesting.
We
though.
Just got through Azkaban. And I hated it so much. I hated it so much. And I didn't mind hating it so much. I just felt really bad for the kids and parents who like look out at that time. We're looking out for Harry Potter movies every summer or whatever. And that was their, that's what they got. And they had to leave the theater all sad and like wait for the next movie. Like that sucks. Whoever makes the Harry Potter movies, that was a mean prank. Don't do that. Anyway,
don't do that.
Don't do
but
that.
But do check out Learned Up Podcast on all social media mm-hmm. platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Interact with us. We are so fun. I guess we got to thank our podcast network, Campfire Media.
Thank you, Campfire Media.
Thank you, Red Cat's House, for being the downest house.
Thank you, Ryan Countos. Shout out to Countos.
And I guess thanks to Adam Isaacson, as always, for our music. Till next time.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Muriel.
And I'm Nick.
And we are the co-hosts of the podcast
Hella in Your 30s.
This podcast is all about diets, hobbies.
Never dying.
Never dying. Fitbits.
I'm going to try to moisturize my face more.
Yeah, alcohol. Should we drink more or less? Cheap Chipotle dates for two.
We bring you hot episodes every Monday from Campfire Media. So make sure to subscribe on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.